Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good. And all the time, we also know that God has called the church to him through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And the Lord Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And the Lord Jesus spoke and said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like unto it. Notice that he didn't stop at the first. It's all he was asked for. But he gave a second one. For the second one is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. For in these two, all of the law and the prophets hangs. And then the last command he gave the church before he himself ascended was go into all the world in all of his authority, for all things have been put under his feet. And today that's exactly what we do, for we know the word of God from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation as it has been preserved for us in these 66 books is the word that we hold and believe. They are the life of the believer. And into that we shall go this day. For in this day we're looking at the harvest. For it is, for here in us in the Reformed Church, it is Harvest Home Week. And I think about that, you know, we have a lot of farmland out here. We have some retired farmers in the congregation. How many of you put a little garden in your backyard? Okay, you can call yourself a farmer then, all right? We may not do acres and acres, but we know what it means to toil in the soil, to plow and till, to remove the rocks and to plant the seed, and then to have the bounty that comes from that hard work. But the amazing thing is, what we don't see is the fact that God is the one who brings it to grow. Can I get an amen, church? Because you and I simply trust that that seed's going to come up, that it's going to get the rain, that it's going to get the sunshine, that it's going to get what it needs. And that's the truth of it, that God is the one who brings it forth, but God wants us to be working in that harvest field. And that today is what we're going to be looking at. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to read two verses. We're going to read three verses, actually, 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, if I can get my pages to turn, there we go. And we are in verses 35 through 38. From the 35th verse, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." As we look at these words, Jesus here, it says that he has compassion on the people because he sees their need, he sees their distresses. I think about farmers and how they prepare the land. You know, we look around Lebanon County here where we're all from, or most of us are from Lebanon, some are from Lancaster, some are from other counties nearby, from Berks. And how much farmland do we have? Was it always that nice tilled land at one point in time? Absolutely not. We live in Penn's Woods. What do you think was here? Trees. Big trees. Trees that were over 800 years old, some of them older. I've seen stories of the logging that happened in Pennsylvania when Pennsylvania was founded. And some of these trees were as much as 23 feet in diameter. The chestnut trees were as tall as 250 feet. And that had to come out in order to put in a little scratch of land. Now, I don't know about you, but I used to hunt down close to Nockamixon. How many of you know where that is? okay? Nockamixon, down there in close, right outside of Philadelphia. And I would go in the woods, and there are all these little walled pieces of ground in the woods, because the woods has recaptured the land. But inside these areas, there are stone walls. And the area might be, 30 feet by 40 feet, 15 feet by 20 feet, but they're walled. And I was like, why did they put up walls? And why so small? Well, then I started thinking about where I was, and this is where the early settlers came in. This is where they first started in the area. And then I realized, oh my goodness, these are farm fields. And those walls are the rocks that they had to get out of those farm fields. And some of those walls are 3 feet high for a piece of land big enough to grow two tomatoes and a spinach. How much work did these people have to put into it? How much distress were they under? And God says, the fields are ripe unto the harvest, but the workers are few. How hard do we have to work at bringing in that harvest? How much work is there to do? And I'm reminded of Jesus' cry here, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. I want you to think about our world. You know, we come from a nation that at one time was primarily Christian. Need to ask you a question. Is it anymore? It's not. If you do a poll, you'll find that 68% of people, according to Barna, 68% of people call themselves Christian. But then if you start to dig down and find out what they truly believe, they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe that he died for our sins. They don't believe in Satan, and they certainly don't believe in hell. So if there's no hell, there can be no heaven, amen? So when we start to dig down, according to Barna, these are not my statistics, these are Barna's statistics, and he's one of the most upfront Christian statisticians. Did I say that right? Less than 28% of our nation are actually Bible-believing Christians that believe the Word of God. Now, I want to ask you a question. If it's only 28% of the people that believe the Word of God, how many pulpits are filled with pastors that don't believe it? And aren't we supposed to be the harvesters? You're all nodding your head, yes. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not the only harvester. I'm just the one that preps all of you. You are the harvesters in the field. I can't do what you can do. I can't reach the people you will reach. I can't be where you can be. But I can encourage you. I can give you that hope. I can give you that desire in your heart. Because I want you to look around today when we welcomed our new members. How many of you felt a sense of joy in welcoming these wonderful people? How many of us are like, this is just the beginning? You know, we're here in Jonestown, and we've got this wonderful facility, and you know, it's more than we could ever hope. And we're here. We ain't done, people. It is not time to sit down. Can I get an amen? It is time to get busy, to get real. And we've known that because when we were in our tent city, how much were we getting real and getting busy, going out on our prayer walks and doing the things necessary to be the church of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to continue doing and being today, because we have a whole new community. It's simply a little bit further north than where we were, and I'll guarantee you, God is just as much needed here as he was where we were. And he's moved us here. He said, okay, I'm bringing you into the land. And I'm going to lead you to a people who you're going to love. And boy, we do love the folks that are here. Can I get an amen from the Heart of Christ Church? And I want all of you to know that you mean so much to us. You have no idea what you, the folks who were St. John's, mean to the heart of Christ. And I don't mean the church, I mean the heart of Christ. Because if you didn't have that, we wouldn't be here. Do you understand me? Do you all understand me? And there's more people in this community that were part of this church that need to hear that truth. That's the harvest field we need to go into. That's the harvest field that these folks have opened up before us. And that's the harvest field that we'll go into together and bring forth the righteousness of Christ and bring people back to the hope of Jesus Christ. You know, it amazes me when I think about where people live their lives. Most of us don't think about things in these terms. But how many people, how many of you know people right now that will say to you, well, I don't need to go to church. You know, I can live my life without church because I believe in God. And you know, I know he loves me. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. But if you love God, don't you think you ought to obey what the Lord tells us to do? Don't you think you need to know a little bit more about the Lord? Because I'll guarantee you, I've heard some really crazy ideas about God from people. And how do we know what we're supposed to be if we're not listening to the Master? If we're not under his care and under his provision? Because I'll guarantee you, you know, I think it's funny, squirrels plant acorns. Squirrels plant acorns. Do all of them grow? Absolutely not, because they plant them in some of the strangest places. How many of you know that squirrels hide acorns in the tops of trees? They'll plant them in rocks. They'll put them at places where they'll never see sunshine and they'll never get water. Because they don't know how to do this stuff. And we need to be in the church. We need to be part of a church so we understand what's going on. Not only do we need to harvest the field, but then we need to take care of it. How many of us understand that from farming? You know, I can go out here and I can ask Brother Harold, Brother Harold, how much fertilizer do you have to put on those fields? Now, you ain't doing it no more. You got somebody else doing it. But how much fertilizer do you put on those fields, okay? How many times do you have to plow that field until you get the what do they call the seed layer? I guess that's what they call it, the original seed layer. You got to kill all that stuff out. And then you got to use pesticides and herbicides and all this other stuff because otherwise the weeds just take over. How many of us got weeds in our lives? How many of us are our fields? They're, you know, they're looking like the forest is taking it back over. If we're going to be harvesters in the field, we also need to understand that we need to come under these things. That's why I said a crop unto eternal life. Okay? We need to realize God is laying something not only for us to do, but something for us to receive and something for us to be. Because the harvest in bringing it in is not only ripe out there, but it's ripe here for us to learn more about him. And that's something that folks forget. We are a living being. When we harvest a pumpkin, we use it up and it's gone. But when we harvest a life, that life now continues on for a period of time. Can I get an amen? And it still grows. And it's in that growing that there's more harvest to come, a harvest leading to a crop unto eternal life. We aren't at the end when we're just at the beginning. When we walk into this place, we're not there. We haven't arrived. We've got a long way to go. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. And surprisingly, the same verses, 35 through 38. John chapter 4. verses 35 through 38. From verse 35 in the fourth chapter of the book of John, we read these words. Do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this cause the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. When you and I think about where we are as we come into life, and this goes for every Christian wherever you are out there, and I'm talking true Christians, people that believe the Word of God, that follow the Word of God, that read the Word of God, and that express the Word of God in their lives, okay? It's not just saying something, but it's being someone and allowing that someone who is our all in all to live in us and guide us and keep us and correct us, rebuke us, and train us. It's a lot of stuff going on there, isn't it? But we need to understand that when we look this thing up, it says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest. That's not only the fields out there that I want to send you into, but it's the fields here. White unto the harvest means that this thing's getting ready to bud. It is getting ready to go. It is just about time to put the sickle to the wheat, because the head of the wheat is at its fullest point. From this point forward, it's going to start to go downhill. Because if we do not put the sickle to it, it can't be used for its next step. And what's going to happen to that wheat if we let it on and it just sits out there in the field? Brother Harold, what happens if we let that wheat sit in the field? It turns to waste. Exactly. That's what I wanted him to say. Because that's what happens in our lives when we don't take what we know and begin applying it. It becomes a waste. Because we have no idea what it's for, and it just goes the wayside. So today, I want to challenge each and every one of you. I have to challenge me every day. We need to be available to God wherever we are. You know, folks are saying, oh my goodness, he wants me to go out and evangelize. No, I want you to live as Christ. Be who you are, where you are, and don't be afraid to speak the Lord into any and every situation. How many of you, okay, now, and I got to step out of the pulpit to say this. How many of you know Brother Jim is a wonderful, wonderful, and I call him an auto mechanic, and he says, I'm not an auto mechanic. I'm an auto technician. And I love it. I love it, okay? We don't have garbage men anymore. We have disposal technicians. I just think it's funny. But I want you to think about this. When we have somebody that we like and they're doing a good job for us, we tell everybody about it, don't we? How many of you, when you got your driver's license, told everybody that you got your driver's license? How many of you, when you got married, put it in the newspaper for everybody in the world to see? How many of you? We do it all the time. But do we do that with Jesus? No, why? Because our world has told us to shut up. Our world has legitimately told us, don't take this into the streets, don't take this into the marketplace, don't say. How many of you remember we were told not just too long ago that we were not supposed to say Merry Christmas? Come on, we all know it. It's Happy Holidays. No, it's not. I celebrate Christmas. I don't celebrate Hanukkah. I don't celebrate, I can't even remember what that other one is. Don't ask me, I don't want to know. Because the reality is those things are all man-made. Now, there are going to be those who are going to argue with me and say, yeah, but Pastor Dubs, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. I'm going to say, no kidding. I know that. But I know he was born. And I'm going to celebrate the fact that my Lord and Savior came. Why do we do it on the 25th? Because y'all are a bunch of pagans. And that was a pagan holiday. So the religious fathers took a pagan holiday and said, we're going to teach you something with it. Isn't that what church is? We're here to teach you something, to do something righteous with what you know and bring it into the light of day. And by that, I mean the Son of Jesus Christ. That we can take the knowledge of our lives out into this world. The fields are ripe unto harvest. There are people out there, because they consider themselves Christians, that have all kinds of ideas about Christianity. But who knows the truth? A born-again, Bible-believing Christian knows the truth. We know his name. He knows our name. He speaks to us. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. And I can't help but wonder, is he whispering to you right now as you're walking in the garden? This is the garden. No, it's not the Garden of Eden. It's the garden of earth where it's cursed. But there's still glory in this garden, isn't it? There's good in this garden, isn't it? And each and every one of us need to point out that good at every opportunity. The world is ripe unto the harvest, and there is no reason why we can't say something good about Jesus Christ anytime we can. But we have been taught, and I'm going to say this, I want you all to think about this. How many of us have been taught time and time and time again, well, you shouldn't talk about those things. I hear that in Christian homes. Oh, just don't talk about those things at work. It'll go easier. Do you love these people? I know I do. You know, I love some of the most ignorant people in the world. And that's why I wore my shirt today. Okay, number one, it was the first opportunity that I got to wear it. And if how many of you can relate with this? Okay, I think all of us can relate with this. When God made me, he grinned and said, this'll be fun. Because we's a work in progress. Can I get an amen? And I'll guarantee you there have been a bunch of times he's laughed at us. And he's laughed with us. And that's what I want us to think about. This is meant to be fun. It's not meant to be easy. It's meant to be a work. And we have to work at it. But that means getting out there in that field. I'm going to tell you right now, I've talked to farmers and they will tell you right now, one of the worst things you can do is get up in the morning and realize you have as much work ahead of you as you put behind you the day before. How many of us are trying to work ourselves out of a job? Brother Harold says, I did, I'm retired. And that's, you know, I think that's great. We retire from that labor, but have we retired from the labor the Lord has given us? No, because even in our retirement, God still has harvest fields out there for us to go into, okay? And I want you to think about just how much things change over your life. How many of you, when you thought about your life, thought about the fact that you were going to be where you are right now? I'll guarantee you, when I was in the machine trades, I had no inkling to be here. I was told I'd be a pastor. I was told when I was 11 years old that I was going to be a pastor. And I looked at the pastor that said that, and I laughed at him. And then I looked at the other three pastors that told me the same thing over the next 5 years. And I laughed at them. And now here I am. Because God didn't give up on me because there was a harvest to bring. And he kept sending laborers into the field until the harvest came in. And now I'm a worker in that harvest. And I'm not done being harvested. I'm not done being worked on. And I'll guarantee you right now, you see this white hair? That's how hard y'all have worked on me. And it's a good thing. Can I get an amen, church? Life is worth the living. When we look at what Christ is telling us here, he says, from verse 36. Already he who reaps is receiving the wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal. Do you realize that as we are laboring in this world, as we are going through this time, as we are working in the Lord's harvest, it's not what you do that brings it to you? But Pastor, it just said that, no, wait a minute here, you know, I'm confused. It says gathering fruit for life eternal. Doesn't that have to do with what we're doing? No. What that has to do with is what God is bringing you to. It's not what you do, it's what he does through you. And the fruit that he's talking about there are other Christians, people coming into that relationship with Jesus Christ. That fruit lasts unto eternity. That's eternal fruit. You and I are eternal fruit. You know, I'm not my own eternal fruit. I have to look at that pastor when I was 11 who made that first comment to me. I have to look at my great-grandma, and we called her Dickie. Tell me, ask me the question, I'll tell you. How many of you have a great-grandmother named Dickie? It's funny, her name was Blanche. That woman prayed for me. And she died before I came back into the Lord. Did she receive the prayers that she sent up? Yeah, Whitey's got it right. She certainly did. Just like Abraham. Did Abraham receive all the promises that were given unto him? Not yet, but will he? Yes, he will. You see, this is eternal fruit. Eternal fruit is entirely different. Sometimes you don't get to see it today because what does it say here? One reaps and one sows. I'm going to look at you folks from St. John's right now. You all set this thing in motion. There are people out there who used to be here that need to be back in here. Can I get an amen? And guess whose job it is now to go out there into those fields and bring them back, to win their hearts back to the Lord because they were disillusioned about something. And it's speaking that truth in love that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even though things may have been out of whack for a period of time, he's back and that never left. Because we're the ones who need to be worked on. Some of us have stone hearts. Some of us planted the seed a little shallow and it needs to be reseeded. Some of us need a little bit of watering on it, and that can be tears. Do you understand where I'm going? It's looking at it in a whole different way that life is worth the living, but we got to live it, and it's dirty, and it's tough, and it's hard. But man, when we get it right, the crop that comes in, 30, 60, 100-fold, and all I can do is say, wow, God, what have you prepared for us? And he says, oh, just wait. You think it's been fun to this point. Just wait. But that means we need to be out there doing our work. Right, Miss Susan? Miss Susan and I were just talking, and I told her, and I, you know, there are sometimes I don't think people understand me. I'm a little strange. But I told Miss Susan, I said, she's as much a part of this worship service as I am. I said, as the Lord moves in your heart and you want to do a special piece or something you want to add, I said, all you do is tell me and it's in. Because I don't own this thing. How many of you own this church? It ain't my church. It's his church. All he did was give us a facility to utilize for a time. And I'll guarantee you right now, I'll be out of here before this thing ever falls down. I mean, I'm 63. If I get 20 more years in this body, I'm going to be praising Jesus. Of course, I want another 57 because I won't be around for a little while. I want to see all new faces in here. I want to see our kids' kids' kids. Wouldn't that be cool? They'd probably look at me and say, I can't believe that old man is still here. Ain't we ever going to get rid of him? Not until Jesus comes. But that needs to be the mantra of our lives. We don't give up. We keep going. We keep moving because from verse 38, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Folks, what's that speaking of? The foundations have been laid. We have people in this world, 68% of the people in this United States claim to be Christians. So we've got a work to do on that end of things. But then that means there's 32% that don't even know Jesus. And how many of those people do we need to introduce to him? That's where we need to be. In both aspects, understanding that we have a work to do in the fields that have already been plowed, already been tilled, the rocks have been moved, but they may need seeded again. But then we're going to have other fields where we're going to have to go in there and move the trees, where we're going to have to dig up those rocks, and we're going to have to move mountains. But brothers and sisters, we're not the ones moving them. We're just making ourselves available. And that does not mean that we're going to go out here and we're going to thump these people and I need to be a theological expert. That simply means be Christ. Be who you are. I don't expect any of you to be anything more than you are. Is Christ in you? I expect an answer. Is Christ in you? Then let him out. Let him out. He came into you for that very purpose. To smile at that person sitting at the edge of the sidewalk who's downtrodden. To be that one who sends that card to somebody because just in your mind you're like, I don't know why, but man, I just feel like I need to send this card thinking of you. Do you know how much those little things mean in people's lives? I watched a meme the other day. Well, it's not a meme, it was a video. This young man walks into this restaurant, and there, it's not a restaurant. What do you call those, like in a mall with all the different food places? Food court, thank you, food court. Walks into the food court, and there's this young lady sitting there by herself. She's got her head down, she's not looking at anybody. And you know, you could just tell from her physical demeanor that she wasn't in a good place, right? He walks up to her and hands her a bouquet of flowers. Doesn't say a word to her, just hands her the flowers and walks away. There's a little note on that bouquet of flowers, and she opens it up because she's like puzzled. Why did he give me flowers? And the note said on it, you're worth it all. How many of you at some point in your life wanted to hear those words from somebody? And you know it's that easy. It's just saying to somebody, you're worth it all. God loves you, and I love you. Because you can never count out the I in that. It's easy to say God loves you and walk away. But if you say, I love you, that means you got to stick around. And that's what God wants. Because he sticks around in us, doesn't he? He does not leave us nor forsake us. Now, does that mean we're going to be able to help everybody? No. Miss Susan, how many students have you had over your career? She just told me this today. I'm picking on her.
It's got to be over
1,000 students. Think about the lives that this lady has touched and the lives that have touched you because they've helped to make you who you are, haven't they?
That's the important part.
It works both ways. We give and receive. We give and receive. And that's what I'm getting at here. We give and receive. That's the labor that we've got to get involved in. Loving each other to that point. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, Philippians 2:19. Philippians chapter 2, 19 through 21. And this is one of the great problems that we see in our world today. And the scripture, I think it's so amazing because the scripture speaks to everything that we're going to deal with. And I don't want this sermon to be a downer. I really don't, because this is a very powerful sermon when we sit under it and understand what God's talking to us about. From verse 19, the Apostle Paul here is writing to the people of Philippi. And he says to them, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition." Now, why did Paul say that? Because Paul was in prison. He couldn't go. He couldn't be the laborer in the field. So he was looking intently to get to these people in Philippi. He knew that they had great need. And he says, "Oh, my goodness, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you." But then read what else he says from verses 20 through 21. "For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." You know, I think one of the greatest detriments to humankind has been the cell phone. We have become so self-centered, so self-centric, and so selfish. We can be sitting at a table with our spouse, with our children, and that phone rings, and we will dismiss them and pick it up. You know, I can remember being a kid, and the phone in the kitchen would ring. That's where our phone was. It was hanging on the kitchen wall. And y'all remember the phones. They had the round dials that you stuck your finger in, and you rotated it. Give one of them to these kids today, they would be lost. Give them a manual transmission, a rotary phone, and a manual transmission, and we'll put them in their place. But it so amazes me, because when that phone would ring in that kitchen, I could be standing next to it and I'd say, "I'm not getting it." Nobody wanted to deal with the phone. Was your house like that, or did you run for the phone? That phone would ring, I wanted to be at the opposite end of the house. I did not want to have to deal with whoever was on that phone. That's just the way it was. Oh man, I'm going outside and the phone's ringing off the wall. Today, I, as your pastor, can be sitting talking with someone in a counseling session. Their phone will go off. "Oh, excuse me, I got to get this." Do you know I've actually walked away from people when this stuff happens? If I am not that important to you, don't expect me to stick around. Does that sound crude? I hope so. In this world, because I'm going to tell you right now, do y'all know where my cell phone is? At home, on the charger, where it belongs. Today is Sunday. This is the Lord's day. I don't need all that stuff. What I want and what I need is right here. And that's what I'm going to be all about. And when I'm with you, that cell phone means nothing. 90% of the time, my cell phone is shut off. I don't even have it on vibrate. It's off. Ask my elders. Ask some of these folks that try to get a hold of me. And 3 days later, pastor gets back to them. Because it does not mean anything to me. I do not live by it. It is not my life. I am not wired to this world. I am wired to the Word of God and the life that God has given me. Now, people are going to say to me, "Oh, but Pastor Rich, shouldn't you be contacting those people? They might have a problem." Yeah, that problem took a long time to get here, and it's going to take a long time to fix it. So me picking it up right now ain't going to make a difference. Because most people don't want to hear what I have to say anyhow, because I'm going to lead them to truth. "Oh, but no, I just want you to listen." Ah, wrong chicken. You want somebody to listen? Call E.F. Hutton. You want somebody to walk with you and work with you? Call Pastor Dubs. And I want you to be able to put your name there. Because that's where the rubber meets the road. There are so many people in this world that need hope. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are some of us right here right now that need hope. There are some of us right now that are going through stuff and we won't tell people about it because, well, we don't want to burden those people. Do you know how many times I hear that as a pastor? Oh, I didn't want to call you. I didn't want to burden you. What do you think my job is? You are not a burden to me. You are my blessing. You are my life. You are the reason I stand up here on a Sunday morning. Because God has asked me to give you my all. That's my job. You have another job. Your job is to be the you in what you're doing. For those of you who are retired, you're figuring that out. But for those of you who are working, your job is to be all that you can be at the place where you are. But while you're there, emulate Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? That means that when you get a 15-minute break, it's not 25. That means when you go on your lunch hour, it's a lunch hour, not lunch 2 hour. That means when it bell rings at 3:30, you're not standing there at quarter after. That means you're giving 100% to your employer because they're giving you 100%. And I love it. I used to say this stuff too. I used to tell everybody, oh man, I gave 120% today. Oh, so that means yesterday you only gave 80. That's exactly what you're saying. And it's understanding that. We need to give our all and give our all to Him, because when we do, we are looking, we are seeking after the interests of Christ, not our own interests, from verse 21. How much of this world seeks after itself? What I want, what's good for me, what I can get out of this. I'm going to tell you right now, the good that I can get out of, and I mean this with all my heart. Every time I'm up here on Sunday, do you know how much my heart joys looking out here? Because it ain't about me. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about you and Him. I just get to be a midpoint. You know, there are places where the middlemen are important. Many places in our world, the middlemen just make the cost go up. I can't add to His free. But what I can do is encourage you to go into that work field. But understanding it's going to be tough. Turn in your Bibles. Last scripture. I know I'm pulling you late, but that's tough. Sit in your chair. 2 Corinthians 5. Yeah, I just said that. My goodness, I can't believe that pastor is so arrogant. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm not arrogant. I love you. I love you and I love the Lord and I want to teach you about Him. I want you to understand Him. I want you to get to know Him. I want you to come to the place where our desires are His desires, where life is worth the living. Because I'll tell you, when I'm living it for myself, when I was looking after the things for myself, I didn't have anything. I barely had a wife. For heaven's sakes, I pitied that woman for 11 years. She took up with me, and I was not a Christian, and I wasn't a very good camper. How about it, sweetie? See, she's saying yes. She's being honest. And the whole thing is, and this, I got to tell you this, she wasn't a Christian either. So when a non-Christian's telling you they ain't very good, that's pretty daggone bad. But the Lord won us both because we were willing to understand His word. From the 14th verse of chapter 5. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. When I lived for me, it was all about me. It was my stuff, okay? I was taught growing up, that he who has the most at the end wins. And that was earthly things. And the Lord showed me, he says, nope. He said, he who gives away himself wins. He who gives everything to me wins. Because when we give everything to him, what does he give us back? I want you to understand this. This is a precept that every one of us needs to understand. When we give God 100%, when we come to that offering that we're going to come to here in just a little while, and we place ourselves in that offering, because offering is not about money. Offering is not about money. Offering is about our hearts. Offering is about our lives. Jesus Christ gave his life for us that we may have eternal life simply by believing in his life, death, burial, and resurrection. Can I get an amen? But that means we need to repent of that thing and take up the new life that he's going to be talking about right here. And when we do, we give all this stuff away, and all of a sudden, our spouse becomes the most important person in our lives. Our children become the most important people in our lives. Our friends become the most important people in our lives. And where am I? I'm living in joy. Jesus, others, and then yourself. And my joy is complete. Because in that I have found my hope. I have found my own self. That this is where I want to be. We were just talking at the pastor's luncheon here on Thursday. And the one pastor said to me, he said, you know, I try to tell all these young men that I've ever spoken to that wanted to go into the ministry, if there's anything else you want to do in life, do it. Don't become a pastor. And do you know that was the first thing I was told in Lancaster Bible College? Our pastor, or our department head, Reverend Dr. Ayers, he made that comment. He said, if there is, how many of you here could see yourself doing something else? This is how I proposed it. How many of you here could see yourself doing something other than being a pastor? And several young men raised their hands. And he said, then resign from college and go do it. He said, because you're not called to do this. He said, if you are not sold out for this, if you do not have a call on your life, don't do this. I'm going to ask you right now. I'm going to ask every one of you right now. Do you want to be a Christian? Do you want to be a Christian? That's a real question. Then you got to give up everything else. Does that mean that I got to give up my job? No. God's given you that job so you can be a Christian. Does that mean I need to give up my life as you know, what I want? Some of it, you better believe it. You need to give up your attitudes. You need to give up your stubbornness. You need to give up your arrogance. You need to give up. There's a lot of things that you're going to need to give up. There's a lot of things that I've needed to give up. Ask my elders. I'm still a work in process. They know. They've seen me. They're the ones who have to deal with me in those quiet meetings where Pastor Rich can be a real butthole. Yes, I just said that. Because I'm a man, and I have to get over my stuff. But in life, we all know that the sacrifice makes it worth living. Because when we sacrifice something, we're showing what it's really worth. How many of you are willing to give up the things of this world to gain the things of eternity? Well, Pastor, isn't that what I'm doing? No, not when you hang on to this stuff. You know, I love it when I talk to Christians and they'll say to me, well, you know, that's just the way I am. And then go find something else to do. Because that's not what God wants from you. Because he died once for all of us. Therefore, from now on, from verse 16, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. What does it mean to have known Christ in the flesh? Paul is admitting that before his conversion, he held views of Christ that were according to the flesh, based on purely human consideration. He looked at the Christ as a man who was simply a man, a liar, a fraud, a poor image of what he was hoping for. But it's only when we come to that place of denying ourselves and seeing the truth that we can fully understand what is really going on. How many of you like being disciplined? Oh man, it's the most wonderful thing in the world, isn't it? God does discipline, doesn't he? God says no. In fact, he says no probably more times to us than he says yes. And what's the other word that he uses besides no? There you go. Wait or later. Yes, because he knows we need to do some things before we can get there. And that's where he meets us. We need to understand that we have to stop looking at things in the flesh. As I just said earlier, it's about him, it's not about us. And we need to put ourselves on the back burner. From verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How many of us are broken, fallen people? Every person out there, we need to stop judging. Every person in here, we need to stop judging. None of us deserve to be here. Can I hear an amen? But God looked at every one of us and he grinned and said, "This'll be fun." I knew you all were trying to figure out how he's going to fit that shirt in here. Because he knew our shortcomings. He knows them. And he's not afraid of them. Do you know one of the reasons why we judge people so harshly? Why we pull away from them? It's because we're afraid to get involved. We've been taught this from a young age. Oh, watch out for strangers. How many of you know what a stranger looks like? Do they have three eyes, Miss Susan? I don't know. What's a stranger look like? We're all weird. Let's face it. If we're going to be honest, we're all weird. But hey, let's not worry about it, because the old is gone and the new has come. We have something new to learn. And may we begin to walk in that newness, that the harvest fields are ripe. You and I have every opportunity to get to know some really wonderful, strange, weird, idiosyncratic people. And none of them are me. No, that's us. That's what makes us click. That's what makes us work well together. How many of you realize that? I am going to tell you right now, I'm not Mitch Keith. I don't want to be. Okay? He's got his own problems. I got my problems. All right? Could you imagine if there were two of us? We'd be in a world of hurt. All of us are different. God wants us to be different, because it is in that different that we get to come together and make a whole. I have two little fingers and two pinky toes. What the heck are they for? I have no idea. I don't know what to do with them. They get in the way and I hurt them more than anything else. But they're a part of me, aren't they? So evidently, I need them. So all these people out there, all these weird people out there, you are one. So let's be it together. Let's draw these folks in and let them know that Jesus Christ became sin for every one of us. That all we have to do is believe, receive that grace, and walk in the fullness of life through repentance. Turning from what was. You know, I think about my life. I want you to think about your life. And it's funny, because here's my illustration on this. I want you to think about your life and what it is. I was going to bring a neck pumpkin. Y'all know what a neck pumpkin is? Okay. I was going to bring a neck pumpkin in. My wife just bought one. And I was going to bring it in and set it up here. Because if I take the seeds out of that neck pumpkin and I plant them in the ground, what am I going to get? There's a smart lady. Why maybe? Because it depends on the cross-pollination, doesn't it? How much pollen from something else that's going to genetically mutate that thing? How many of us have been genetically mutated through evil? How many of us have been genetically mutated, what we are, okay? This is me, this is who I am, this is what the world's made me. Because of outside influences. But the reality is, when we come to Christ, Jesus Christ takes that neck pumpkin, which may be contaminated, and he takes the sin out of it, and guess what it's going to produce now? It's going to produce neck pumpkins. And they're all going to look just like him. That's where we are. That's this new creation that's come. We're going to start to look like him. And it's my hope that that's where we see ourselves. And if we're going to look like him, then we need to be like him. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Again, this comes right back to the fact that we cannot take it to self. That, I'm saved and I don't need to do anything else. You know, that's where your pastor was from the age of 18 until I was 32. Jesus saved me from suicide. I saw the end times. He gave me the vision of the end times and told me that this is what I was going into. And I said, wrong chicken. Of course, back then I didn't know those words. I just said, no way. It scared me to death. Number one, I didn't know what visions were. I was not a born-again believer until that point in time. And when the Lord started showing me the things of the Lord, they were strange to me because nobody had ever taught me those things. I grew up in a church, and I'm going to say it, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody. I grew up in the UCC church. And the UCC church that I was in Glen Rock, Pennsylvania, did not teach you spiritual things. Everybody went to heaven. Don't you know that? No, I don't know that. Especially now, because the word literally tells us otherwise. But today I look at my life and I say to myself, I can't take this grace in vain anymore. I've got to give it away. I have got to be a partaker of that grace and allow that grace to do its work in me as much as I allow it to do the work in others and be that work. For he says at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give no cause or offense in anything so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. When we work in this field, when we understand that the harvest is not just for us to go out there and do and to be, but it's also for us to become that harvest because we're the ones being changed. As Miss Susan spoke earlier, those 1,000 people changed her. All the people that we're going to meet are going to change us. We've already changed Heart of Christ Church. We are no longer the same. We just introduced into this congregation new members. Now, there are others out here who are not members. Are they part of us, church?
Yes.
You just heard that. And we believe that to be true. You may not sign on as a member, but you are just as important to us as anyone else because Jesus Christ is the one we all seek. It's his church. You are a member of the church. The only difference between that and this is the fact that here, as a member, you get to vote on stuff. It also means you're responsible to do things. How many of us like that idea? You know, I like to go along for free. I love free memberships. I love, you know, oh, I can get in Costco's for free and I don't have to join and I get the discounts. Oh, baby, I'm all in. I got to pay $60 a year for that thing. That's crazy. I'm Pennsylvania Dutch. I'm as cheap as they come. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, my kingdom's free. It's for anybody. So if you are in Christ, you are welcome. And we love you. But you're going to hear the word when you come here. Can I get an amen, church? And it might run a little long on a Sunday every now and then. But that's because the word of God is real and true. It is sharp unto the dividing of the bones and the marrow, the spirit and the soul. Last scripture, continuing on. Because this is where the rubber meets the road, brothers and sisters, and this is the truth of this story. And I can get Mr. Harold to come up here and preach this. I know I can. He's laughing at me right now, but he's going to see where I'm going. In much endurance, in afflictions, and in hardships, and distresses, in beatings, and imprisonments, in tumults, and labors, and sleepless, and hunger, in purity, and knowledge, and patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by the glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold, we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. And the reason I said Mr. Harold could preach this, because he could tell us just how tough it was to be out there in those farm fields when it's raining and you got to get those seeds in, when you've got those animals out there running around on somebody else's property because your fence went down, and you've got folks coming against you, you've got deadlines coming up. We ain't none of us ever been there, right? We've all been there. But yet we are victorious. Isn't that what this just said? Isn't that what just said? As sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Everything is ours. The universe is ours. We serve a God that gives it all away. And who's he given it to? He's given it all to us. And what are we doing with it? You know, we all want big bank accounts. I have people out there right now saying, oh, no, I don't need a big bank account. Yes, you do. Because that's what we've been taught. The reality is, if we have Christ, we lack no good thing. Nothing. Everything's at our fingertips, if you will but believe and receive. Oh, Pastor, now you're being one of those believe it and receive it and you'll get it and all that good stuff. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Didn't he just say we're going to go through hardships? Didn't he say this wasn't going to be easy, that we're going to be beaten yet not destroyed? Didn't he just say that, you know, all this stuff is going to be hard for us to come to, but yet we receive it all because we know that our glory is not on this side of the grave, it's on the next. We are reaping a harvest, a crop unto eternal life. If it's all for this world, it's all for naught. And Jesus died for nothing. And we need to remember there are going to be many people who are going to die in this world for nothing, because they believed in nothing, they held to nothing, they lived for nothing but self, because the world lied to them. And you and I have come to that place of understanding the truth. Now, I'm talking to you folks out there on the internet, and I want you to understand, you know, many of you probably already turned me off because I went 15 minutes longer than I was supposed to. But if you're still here, you're here for a reason. It's because God's talking to you, not Rich Dubs. You're all sitting in the pews because it's Sunday and you don't want to look bad getting up and leaving. And don't I know that? If I don't have a captive audience, no one does. But the truth of the matter is, we're here not because of me. We're here because of him. And in him we have all things. It's all yours. Take it. Use it. Take it. Use it. When you use something for the kingdom, God does not punish you and not give back 30, 60, 100 fold. And if there's not somebody here that doesn't give testimony to that, raise your hand. Can you testify to that? 30, 60, 100 fold. If you give unto the Lord, he gives back to you. We need to realize these people in this community, all of you, all of us, that includes me, are worth everything that we can ever receive. The harvest is ripe, and the crop is unto eternal life. It's not for this world. You know, I think it's funny because I look at our farmers. How many of them are losing? I just saw this the other day. 538 million farms have been lost in the last 20 years in the United States. 538 million family farms are gone. I want to ask you a question. Who's going to feed this world? You know, we can't produce enough food for our own country anymore. Are we producing enough Christ for our world anymore? We're told in the end that it's going to get tough. It's going to get tougher. How many of you think we're getting close? Yeah. I see small hands going up. My hand goes up the whole way. Brothers and sisters, it's going to get tougher. But God doesn't give up. Can I get an amen? Let's pray today. Father, the harvest is hard, and that's what I wanted people to hear today. The harvest is hard. It's a labor. But Lord, may we remember it was a labor of love, and you showed it to us. You showed us that laying ourselves down was the most wonderful thing that could ever happen, because it's only as we lay ourselves down and we take up that cross that life changes. And now we're living eternal issues. So Father, I pray for this church. I pray for each and every individual that's here. And Lord, I pray for those who aren't here, and I pray for those who are on the internet listening, because Lord, you're calling for us to make a difference. A difference in our own lives, but a difference in others' lives, that they too may make a difference in us, and that together we would truly be a crop unto eternal life. Father, I ask your blessing upon us, that we would see your word, know its truth, and understand the power therein. It's not easy, but it's the most worthwhile thing we will ever do, for these are the things, these are the things that follow through, that we get to take with us. For they're already laid up in heaven, waiting for that day. And Lord, what a day it will be when we stand before you and we cast our crowns at your feet, because we really realize that everything we've worked for is nothing compared to one moment with you. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.